All right, we are here. What's up, Steven?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm hoping everything is working. So we'll look at the chat and they'll let us know for sure, but it should be working. Sweet. But if you guys didn't know, this is the Gundam Explained show and it's live. And I am Adam Blue, and joining me is Steven of Midnight Hatter. Steven, what's up?
Not a lot, man. Been a busy week.
Did you see that audio is good? Okay.
Audio is good. Oh, thank the maker.
I know, right? Okay. Anyway. Kyle's like, I can see you, but you can't see me. Not for long. Not for long. But cool. Yeah, let's look at chat. Kyle Autronomous, WD 30th, King Dylan. Let's see. Ian Hansen, good to see you. Let's see. Gemkel X. Yeah, good to see
all the usual suspects, you know.
Yeah, this, again, it was a little bumpy like last time because it's new software, but technically not, but it's really good stuff. I actually use it for the Blue Gamer Show weekday morning, so.
That's my favorite way to start the morning. Is to talk about video games. Like,
yeah, no one else does it, and so I was like, I need to do it. But what's cool is this just allows me more interactivity. It's easier to get guests on for the future, so I'm glad I got this going on. But anyway... Yeah, so if you didn't check it yesterday on Steven's channel, on his show, he was showing off his Babu. It's looking badass. And
yeah, I don't know. We'll see if this actually shows up. I did install the battery pack today, so you probably will maybe see some lights if you guys are watching the video version of the podcast. The whole thing is controlled via a switch underneath the propellant tanks. And Adam, you're going to be pleased with this. Do you know how I finally solved the battery pack issue?
Magnets. No, that is awesome. That is really cool. So, but I'm wondering, I know you've done some like, haven't you done some like members only streams when you were building it and some live streams?
I made all the streams available, you know, publicly, cool. But I think after the competition's over, then this Saturday, Hobbytown Richmond, I will be at the model contest there. I'm submitting this guy as a Gunpla piece, and we'll see, you know, how we place, and then maybe I'll do like a full edited video of everything that we did to this piece. Honestly, that's this cool. Has been such a labor of love, and you know, this is what we're here for, right?
Yeah, and it's been fun watching it. Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring that up. So that's cool that you'll have an edited video, but for those that are interested in the making, like of real-time making, not like editing out the mistakes, you've got your live streams, and it's been inspirational for me. Like, my main takeaway when seeing that was how it doesn't look like it was heavily modified to do something neat. It's, you know what I mean? How sometimes someone might have to, like, change a seam line or add something that's not, but yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to retain that canon look as best as we possibly could. And that's where, like, you know, we've got hidden magnets. We've got the figure that can clip to the magnets. We've got the magnetic backpack where the beam rifle can be stowed like a hard point. I mean, there's so many little gimmicks that we've installed that are hopefully hidden to the human eye.
Yeah, that is cool. And it's funny because it's almost like when I do those robot spirits and Gunpla comparisons, sometimes I feel like, oh, could I modify this Gunpla to have more of the action figure gimmicks? And then it's like, well, with these robot spirits, it'd be neat if they had lights. You know, there's like always that next step. And it's neat because there's even a community that takes the robot spirits and adds the real type marking on them. That's which so is pretty awesome. Neat. And I've done that with one of mine in the past, and it's kind of a fun little thing.
You know, I think that the action figure customization community has been starting to step up their game. Obviously, I wish I could remember the name of the website off the top of my head, but I just sent a website. I actually sent it to you, Adam, and then I also sent it to my little brother since he's, you know, into the Marvel Legends figures. But it's like 3D print files for, you know, flak jackets and different alternative heads for Marvel figures and things like that. But even on the videos where I talk about wireless lights and stuff, someone was like, oh, yeah, you know, I have like a Figure Arts Iron Man that I want to put an LED in his chest for the arc reactor and like wireless LEDs. That's the way to go, right?
Yeah. No, that is cool because there's a time when I bought the Mezco Blade, but they didn't have the likeness rights for Wesley Snipes, but someone was making and painting them as well as the weapons. But unfortunately, and this is something it probably still happens where some of these guys, you know, they sell on Instagram. And then like I'll put in an order and then, you know, the sale will take time. And then I remember there was one I was waiting like 2 years, never got my stuff. And I was like, can I just cancel it?
Yeah,
it's disappointing. One was a Darth Vader cape for the smaller figures that was wired and thinner. And then the other one was like the movie accurate weapons for Blade. Never got them. And it's kind of disappointing. But at the same time, like you said, there are so many people out there that are making so many things. Like if you have an action figure, you want to modify it in some way, there's probably something already out there.
There's a lot of makers online that are trying to, you know, promote their work, and it's tough. Like you said, you know, you're going to find the occasional guy that's, you know, maybe it's nothing malicious. It's just they be like, oh, I couldn't fulfill this because I don't have time or whatever. It got
too big for them, because that's the thing. Right. This thing is popular. This kind of scene of the customizing action figures. And, you know, I brought up, like, I have this 89 SH Figure Arts Keaton Batman, but the cape was horrible. And then I bought one on eBay that is just amazing.
It looks phenomenal.
Just because, it looks like it's leather, and how the bendy wire is super strong. So like I can really work on getting the pose I need. And so I'll have to do the same with the Flash Batman that I got. The problem is part of the wire is coming out of the, part of the wire is coming out, which is
that looks like a QC issue.
Yeah. Which, that's the thing with SH Figure Arts. Like, they look amazing, but then once you have them, you're like, it could have been better. Because I think they, even though they're action figures, I think they're made to be just displayed.
I mean, there's, what is it, Hot Toys that does, like, the huge statues that, you know, those things Ian are, what, like $500?
Ian has a bunch, actually. And
oh, my goodness.
There's times where, you know, Ian and I would just be, like, on Discord and just showing each other, oh, look at this figure, look at this figure. And then I'm like, okay, I think I'm buying a hot toy. But then I didn't. But I would like to someday. I just don't know which one. The Predator came out. Like, if it's like, what would I want to have a statue figure of? And like Darth Vader, Predator, you know, those are kind of the things. Which is funny I said that, because those are the type of things my dad, he didn't collect things, but he would have like a little Predator or Darth Vader on his desk.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool stuff.
My dad was definitely more of a fantasy guy than sci-fi. Like, obviously he liked Star Wars, Star Trek like I did, but I remember there's probably only one or two times in my life that I was spanked by my father, and one of those times was when I went into his file cabinet, and he was a big Legend of Zelda guy, and he actually had a map of the ninth dungeon that he hand drew on graph paper, you know, to like, because really? He was like, oh, you know, I have the ninth dungeon beat. I drew out the map, and I went in there because my older brother had gotten to that level, and my older brother and I were fighting, and we ripped the map in half because I wanted to navigate while he played. And that was one of the very few times that my father like seriously disciplined me was,
wow, that's pretty crazy. That's actually cool. That, I mean, that's a cool shout out. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
Which is, it's one of those things that's hilarious now, because you could just go online and look up a map of the ninth dungeon. Like, it's such a like almost anachronistic thing to imagine.
Right. But yeah, that was the thing, back then. Yeah. I remember, even in the bedroom as a kid, before I moved out of my parents, I had, you know, a cork board with things on there. And one, I remember being like, over the years, different like passwords for different games that I've like written down over time. So it's kind of a lost art.
We had graph paper sheets of all the Mega Man codes, like the level passwords and stuff. Like, oh man, you got it.
Yeah. Pretty good. So I am trying to do something. I might break the stream, but which is okay. No, I'm joking. It's not working. I was trying to get the chat thing to come up. I totally forgot to test that, but it does it. I just forgot to set it up right. But anyway,
well, I did that. I screwed up yesterday trying to set that up.
And, what is it? King Dylan said something when we were talking about, I don't know what kind of, you know, hot toy I'd want in my room. And he's like, a massive Haman Karn. And I'm like, okay, Okay. That's...
They do have that like resin statue Haman. I think it was available on the name of the website? It's like E0246. That anime.
Maybe I didn't know about that. I knew website. About like one, I don't know what scale it is, but you know, they have like figures that are like $200 or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Look real quick. If I'm just searching for that. Oh, yeah. Mega House makes one that's $145. Oh, it's on sale.
There you go. But yeah, Mega House makes really fantastic products. I mean,
well, and you know what? Yeah, because they do those little action figures and they do the ships that they're coming out with now.
They do the ship replica parts. So,
you know, it's funny. It's like, would I get this statue of Haman Khan from my room? It's like, no, you know, I'm trying. Yeah, I don't know. But then like, funny story last night. Funny story, guys. Amazing story. I'm sitting there with my wife and she's like, do you know that beautiful actress that's really funny? And I'm like, okay, is this a trap? Really fun. I think she's in one of those comic movies like Avengers. And I'm like, oh, where's this going? And it's like Scarlett Johansson. Yes. I had to pretend. I was like, oh, okay. But then I'm like, actually, wife, something else we now have in common because that's been a lifelong now. So I can get a statue of that, I think, of Black Widow or something and Ghost in the Shell. I love that movie, even though a lot of people didn't. But
well, you didn't see the anime, did you?
I didn't before. I did after.
Okay, yeah. And then have you watched Standalone Complex, the series?
No. Is that
like
good?
The Laughing Man. Oh, dude, yeah. And it's one of those shows that, like, the opening credits are fantastic. So, yeah, Standalone Complex is... and what's funny is I never watched the original Ghost in the Shell. I only watched Standalone Complex.
Did you see the movie?
No.
Okay. I think the movie's good. I think what people didn't like about it was they changed the race, and I get that. I mean, I get people being sensitive to that, but I liked the movie. And then when I saw the original movie, it's really similar. Like, I was surprised how much it's like, wow, this is a really good adaptation of that.
Yeah, the character representation is good, although, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to then watch the Standalone Complex because actually been looking for what's the next anime I just kind of have on in the background.
Well, we'll probably talk a little bit more about that tonight, won't we?
Will we?
I don't know, maybe.
Is that a topic? Oh, kind of. Oh, yeah, that's kind right. Of. Yeah, that's right. There's going to be a lot.
Did I jump the segue?
No, that was actually pretty good. I'm just so caught up in, like, I think I'm still getting over the fact that I can get away with getting a Scarlett Johansson statue in this house somehow. I did get an arcade unit.
Oh, yeah. You got one of those one-up machines.
Yeah. In fact, I wonder if I can... Sure.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I could... Ooh, hey, yeah, look at that. I see it in the background. I don't know if you guys can see it, but I see it.
Yeah, I think the way it's set up, they get... Yeah, it's cool because it was, like, my wife's idea. You know, like, it's obviously it's something I'd always want to get.
And the kids love it.
Yeah, but, sure. You know, I just didn't think it was practical. But then, like, she had talked about it more and more, and then they were on sale. And I actually talked about it a lot on the morning gaming show. But I got the one that, like, specifically had the most games. Even though maybe there's one that's a better game I'd rather have, I just thought if I'm spending that money, I want to get...
Yeah, more bang for your buck, for sure.
Because it even has this, like, Capcom sports game that inside has, like, tennis, soccer, and basketball. And it's, like... And you could play online and stuff.
That's pretty sweet.
I know it is. But you know, when another thing related to that too is I ordered, and I did this a while back. I ordered light guns. Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. Modern use light guns that are compatible with like emulators, because what I really want to do is play that Gundam light gun arcade game that exists. And I actually did play it on, mobile, and it's pretty fun, or on mobile, on a handheld, retro handheld, but I want to do it properly on the TV, try to play through the whole thing, maybe record it. So
I was going to say that has to be a video because no one's ever seen that. Like,
yeah. So it's either going to be, I'm wondering, do I do a review of it, or I might, it could be short enough where I just, record myself playing the entire thing. And a review. So
no one is asking, dude, there are light guns that work with emulators. And this is hilarious because I was on that blue cast where you were talking about it. And I think Ultronimus and Jamcal X were in the chat. And I was like, dude, man, what if they made light guns that were compatible with emulators? And Jamcal X was like, actually, Adam just said that they do. So,
yeah, I know it's crazy. Also, shout out to Jamcal X and Ultronimus. They're on my show like every morning. Usually you are too. But what's cool with these light guns, there's different brands that make them. I bought what's technically the cheapest, but what people say is the most user friendly, because they can get expensive and I don't want to do that right now. But basically you get what I bought came with two guns, two pedals for like Time Crisis.
Oh, nice.
And a hub. The hub is for all the connections, as well as there's, this might make or break for some people, but it's not too big of a deal. There's like four, do I have an example? Like this cut in half. This is like a little remote. Yeah. Cut in half. It's four things that go on each corner of your TV.
So that's like the receiver.
Yeah. So I'm like, that's cool. But then looking online.
That's like, I mean, that's how like the Xbox Kinect and like the PlayStation Move worked. So like
the Wii.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That was a big one. So that's the thing. It is manageable at the end of the day. Sometimes I feel like that's an extra step, but the videos I was looking at, they were showing people using RetroArch and it's like built in, what was another one? There's actually some standalone like emulators. They're like front ends, I guess, really that you can, but anyway, it's built to use the light guns and all that. So
sweet.
It's just going to be fun. I can't wait. I feel like I'm slowly turning in my house into what I pictured when I was younger, like having the video games everywhere.
And then soon now waifus. So like that's,
oh my gosh, here we go. Yeah, this is, it's all turning out.
No, that was, so like, I guess my one story about that comes from when I was in college. I was dating this girl and I had a poster that was actually a signed lithograph from, I guess the artist that did the comic book, but it was Tali Zora from the Mass Effect series. And the girl that I was dating at the time was like really upset that I had a Tali poster on the wall. And, you know, I was like, okay, you need to understand something. And I probably told the story before. I was like, if aliens invade Earth tomorrow and they look like her, I'm going to dump you via text at just the shot of asking her out. And actually, we broke up that week. So
really, so maybe that was a kind of a way subconsciously to lead her off. I mean, honestly, that's a really good point. If aliens started invading, and what are we like doomed? But the aliens are hot. I would probably like try to be like, look, I might die, but maybe we can, you know, come up.
Yeah,
with, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where we're going with this conversation. Whoa, <it's>, let me tell you.
Oh, no respect here. What's
Rodney Dangerfield. Jamcal X, Adam slowly caresses him on photo soon.
Oh yeah, the
I need to get a photo.
Wolverine meme.
Oh yeah, Wolverine with the that's one that what's comparable is almost that picture I made where it's, you know, when Quattro was watching Emma leave. Yeah. I changed Quattro's face to mine. That stuff is funny for some reason. But this Tali Zora, that's not what I was expecting.
Oh, yeah.
I was expecting that, not that I'm a speciesist or anything, but I was expecting the human female that, is like her name Miranda or something?
Everyone goes for Miranda. I was a Tali guy, you know? Oh, okay. Something about that Slavic accent, I think, is...
you know what it is? It's that built-in, there's a term for it, because it's like you're almost connecting or conquering another civilization or culture, because you're then marrying into it. And then, so that's what's really deep in you. Like, if you have the chance, you would conquer other planets by marrying into them.
Yeah, you know, it's if you've ever played the Civilization series, I never won Civilization via military victory. It was always cultural victory. It was always like, I'm gonna have the biggest libraries, the biggest like education centers, and it's like everyone's gonna want to be like me.
No, that's funny though that you brought that up because there was this podcast I was listening to Joe Rogan yesterday, and they were talking about it was very
just a small podcast.
Yeah, just some. No, but they were talking about something interesting. You know, he brings up chimpanzees a lot, but they actually did this thing where they had the chimpanzees like running on a treadmill, and I guess they were like forcing them to do it or something. Well, not forcing them, but just making them do it. But then one of the chimpanzees was like, "Ah, F it," and just like pressed the button to stop and just stopped. Or something. And I guess what they're trying to show is like, there was really more to it. You can listen to that 3-hour podcast, but the idea was how humans have this inability, I guess, to stop something once they're like really all in, and conquering is, you know, part of that. That's why Planet of the Apes wouldn't happen.
Oh, really? You think that that's like the kind of,
well, I think that's what they were trying to get at. There's like this other layer of our consciousness that, There's like this prime directive, maybe we don't know about that. Anyway, dude, this is not a science podcast unless we're talking about the science behind Gundam. But
yeah, which we could get into. I mean, there's definitely some meat on those bones.
Actually, let's do that by, let me get the screen share up correctly. Okay, here we go. So I asked something on the YouTube channel I was really curious about, and I was like, yeah, what are your it's not even on my thing, but I was asking, oh yeah, what are your top three favorite mecha that might not necessarily be from a Gundam series?
Yeah.
And the reason was because, kind of like you alluded to, it's like I'm trying to find more new anime to watch. But also, you know, just a lot of times when we have these conversations about like what motivates us, what inspires our creativity, I want to try to figure out deep down what is it that makes me love mechs so much. I think it's because of the Power Loader and Aliens, but I wonder if maybe we can find out more. And you're yourself too. I'm curious, like, what do you think first got you into the mech idea? Or is it not that it's mechs, it's just you like Gundam?
Well, you know, I do like mechs. Like, if I were to answer this question, I would say, you know, Metal Gear Rex, the Ingram from Pat Labor, and Vifam. Right. Oh. Like those would be my three top favorite mecha that aren't from Gundam. But I think, yeah, at the end of the day, I do prefer Gundam to everything else. Now, how would you answer this question yourself? Because you've kind of dipped your toes into like Exo Squad and, you know, this should be a game. Like how many minutes into the show can we go without mentioning Exo Squad?
I know. That's a good point. And I want maybe. I'll say what I think right now. Maybe by the end I'll have a different idea. But for instance, it would be like the Power Loader from Aliens, just because of how practical that seemed. So when I first saw that when I was a kid, it just, and especially how they did the special effects, that seemed so real. And the fact that when you first see it, it's used for just moving around stuff in the warehouse, the docking bay, whatever. But then by the end, it was a weapon. And like, that's like, oh, that's awesome. And so it's really hard for me to say other things that come into mind that I think are like awesome mechs. But like, for instance, Lost Planet, I liked those mechs in general. There's not one.
The Hardballer is sweet. Like the one, the round. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one is.
Yeah, and I think I actually have a action figure of it in the attic. It was like a promo thing with the game.
Yeah, I think they only released them like with a special edition of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, it was something like
probably
that.
Probably the second one.
And then, you know, as for other mechs, I think it's really hard for me to say something specifically, but like once I got to Gundam, like realized that would be it. Then it would be the ones from, Rise from the Ashes. So that was the other thing that kind of told me, oh, I like mechs. I like them in that way where they're almost completely humanoid, but there's enough to it, you know, like the stuff in Front Mission. Is not.
Yeah, they're very like grounded and utilitarian as opposed to the sort of fantasy like super robot stuff. Like you're not going to get into like something like Gaio Gaigar or what's the one everyone loves? Grandizer?
I know you're talking about.
Well, those I feel like are things that would not appeal to Adam.
Yeah, I think so too, because it seems like it's a giant robot, but it's for a different purpose. And so, but that's what I'd love to figure out, like going through this, maybe there's some other stuff that I might be into.
There's one in particular that I saw in the answers supplied that I was like, you know what? I think that we could probably sell Adam on this idea.
Oh, okay. I like the sound of that. Well, Okay, let's start then with Fat Tiger. Right, yeah, Fat Tiger, yeah, 6957. This is actually really hard for me. Mecha is my favorite anime genre, but I've seen so many mecha series over the years. One, I love Macross and pretty much all the mecha in it, but since I don't just want my list to be all Macross mecha, I will just put my favorite, the YF-21, as the Macross representative. Let me do just a quick... That is badass. I'm already in love. That reminds me of Blue Angels, which I loved, like the F-18s.
Everyone loves like the Valkyrie from Macross, like because it really is like we took a fighter jet from contemporary real world and then made it a mech.
I like that. I'm gonna have to keep this open, and now I'm seeing Big Bad Toy Store. I don't need to buy anything right now. Where was I? Two, I gotta put the scope dog from Armored Trooper Votoms on my list. It's just so ugly and functional that it really is a great representative of a military real robot series. That's true. I think it does look ugly, but in that cool, functional way. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Number three, rounding out the list, I will say Raxophon. Okay. It is very much a magic-based super robot. Very distinct design with the head, wings. Also, its light bow and arrow is really cool. Honorable mention goes to the Ingram from Pat LeBron, Escaflowne, and the Galliant. Okay, let's look at this real quick. Huh.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong with the Ingram. Like, that thing is so sweet. And, like, honestly, you know what? 95% of it with the Ingram is that it has the RoboCop-style revolver in its leg. So it does the whole like leg pop out the revolver and spin it around. And that
seems to make sense. Like in my head canon of mecha, giant mecha, the legs would have a lot of empty space. And I would think a lot of, you know, like the lower legs would have a lot of thrust stuff going on, but the upper legs, that totally makes sense. But yeah, I'm not familiar with, keeps opening it to the side, but yeah, this Raxophon.
That's not one I'm familiar with either.
It's kind of neat looking, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Thank you. Okay. A new type 057, not technically a series, but the Knights from Warhammer. Okay. I think that counts.
I would say so.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff is badass. And even, is it like Todd McFarlane and Joy Toy are making these also?
Yeah, I think that like the scale like action figure versions, like the obviously the tabletop game versions,
which would be awesome. But yeah, I mean that is actually really, I got to say that is really cool. I've never really spent my time looking at it, you know, seeing it to scale with a character there, but that is a really cool design type of mecha to be in that the world like that.
So, yeah,
that's a good one. Okay, Santa Bell. Shout out to Santa Bell. So many choices, but I'm always drawn by nostalgia. So I'm guessing Zone of Enders, ZOE, Jehuti, and then the YF-19, Macross Plus, and Gunbuster. That's a good one. With Big O and Manzinger coming runner-up. Then some heavy gear and Battletech stuff.
Sweet.
So Manzinger, I know about that because when I would go get model kits, there would be model kits of that. And that actually looked really cool.
And that's another super robot type, you know, but as far as like aesthetics, Manzinger's awesome.
Yeah, that does look cool. All right, Chris 9206. I would say in no order, those would be the Valkyrie from Robotech Macross, then the overall designs in Escaflowne. Okay, that's been mentioned. And Ghost in the Shell.
So Ghost in the Shell, what did you think of like the Tachikomas from Ghost in the Shell, the like spider robots?
Yeah, I thought that was cool, but for me that's not mecha, but I guess technically it is.
Yeah.
Right? Because for me, I think there's something with me and mecha being as humanoid as possible. But right. I think that still counts because even in Seed Destiny, they had those enemy spider mobile suit units. And that was pretty neat. But let's see. Broken Blade, Outlaw Star, Code Geass, Eureka 7.
So this is where I think we might be able to sell you on a new series. Okay. So you've not seen Outlaw Star yet, have you?
No, but wasn't that on Adult Swim?
Or it was, yeah. So this, I think, marries two of your favorite things, which are ship battles and mecha. Because there aren't actually like mechs in Outlaw Star. What they have are these, what they call them is grappler ships. And so they're battleships that have arms that spring out and then they can like grab onto other ships in space and like create this kind of space battle that, to me, I think it makes more sense than Gundams fighting in space. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm going to have to find out.
Like, I think to myself, like, okay, what's the most optimal design for space? It's like, oh, the Zeong, the Drossi, you know, the things that don't have legs.
Yeah.
And at that point, why not just do what Outlaw Star did and, like, take a Salamis and put two arms on it that can grab another ship, and then you start hammering it with, you know.
You know what? That's interesting, because it being called Outlaw Star, Outlaw makes me kind of think pirates, and the idea of these ships then grappling on, it's kind of like that sort of that. So that's neat. So thank you. I think I'm going to check that out. It looks like it's on Hulu. So,
and see, and the chat is agreeing with me. So that's
okay. Awesome. Well, thank you. I'm glad. Okay. We did it. Show's over. That's all I needed. No.
He's like, I found something to watch. Thank you guys.
No. Go. All right, Ultronimus, the Nervash Type Zero Ver 2 from Eureka 7. Okay, Eureka 7 brought up again.
Second.
Yeah.
Now remember, it's not pronounced Eureka 7. It's Ultronimus, correct me, because it's not. Is it Ulrika? Or,
oh, okay.
It's or Elka, something like that. It's definitely Eureka. Not pronounced Eureka.
Elreka. Okay.
Elreka. Yeah.
That is interesting.
See, that's one of those things that, like, so I was watching this funny interview the other day with Noel Gallagher from Oasis.
Oh, yeah.
And the interviewer was like, is it true that you turned down doing the soundtrack to Trainspotting because you thought that the movie was going to be boring because it was about people watching trains? And he was like, yeah, you know, well, didn't they say it was about doing Arrowin? You know, so if they'd called the movie Arrowin, maybe I'd have done the film. But like, no, you guys call it Trainspotting. Like, oh, is it about a bunch of geezers watching trains? No, absolutely. I'm not going to do that movie. And it goes on to become one of the great British films. It's like Eureka 7 is guilty of the exact same thing as Trainspotting, because why would you call it Eureka 7 when it's pronounced Elreka 7?
Yeah, I'm blown away by your accent, by the way. Like, that's,
I've been watching a lot of The Boys, obviously.
Oh, who was speaking like that?
Well, I mean, it's always
Butcher. That's right. It's that. I love it. Oh man, I love when he talks. He should be Bruce Wayne.
No, what he should be is he should be on this show because he is a Gundam fan. I'm sure you've seen the photo of him and Viggo Mortensen with their Zaku's.
I'll reach out to him. I think I have him on LinkedIn. Okay, so back to Ultronimus. I love the LFOs in general, but it's definitely my favorite of the bunch. Why? Who doesn't love sky surfing mechs that can also transform into a car and a jet? That's pretty good. So Eureka 7, Elreka, sorry.
Elreka.
All right. 2, White Glint from Armored Core for answer. I hate fighting White Glint so much, but I love everything about them. Haha. Yeah, for answer. I think that was one of the PS3 360 releases.
Yeah.
And then 3, the Berserk Fury from Zoids. It skyrocketed so hard to being my favorite Zoid once it was first introduced. I still long to get a new kit of it to add to my displays. Okay, well, let me...
See, I long to get an old kit of that for you, Ultronimus, because way back in the day, the Zoids kits used to have motors and servos in them. And so when I was a kid, I had the Berserk Fury. My little brother had the Shield Liger. The Berserk Fury is sweet because it's got these two like claws on the backpack that then spring out these blades that rotate. And so the old model kit had like fully motorized rotating blades.
Oh wow. Yeah, see, that's I'm looking at some pictures here. That was the thing when you, I guess there was a time where you got a Zoid and then people were talking about it in chat and I was like, oh, I got it. That's one of those things where one day I will get
Gotta get a Zoid. I think, you probably can't see it here, but yeah, the Berserk Fury, I don't have the Berserk Fury. It was Goose got me the Geno Breaker,
yeah,
which is like the junior Berserk Fury.
Oh, wow. That's considered a junior? Dang. All right. Well, thanks, Ultronimus. We'll go to Orak Quadra. Yes. Orak Quadra. Okay. Can't have Mecha without Getter Robo, and the SRW series has some pretty neat mechs like the Grandzon. Yeah, you know what one I like? In fact, I got an email. I have an email notification from Mandarake, if that's how you pronounce it, the Japanese reseller website, because I'm trying to get the... They have a Metal Robot Spirits of the Huckenbein or something like that.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah,
I love that look. It's very Gundam-y. Super Robot Wars is a good call out because there's cool stuff in there.
Yeah,
Big Bear 0288YT. EVA Mark VI and EVA Unit 1 from Evangelion are my top two, followed by the YF-19 from Macross Plus. And that's Macross Plus, which I watched the original Macross series, but I guess Macross Plus is a TV miniseries. Okay, so that's probably what I should do next then.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, people keep bringing up the YF-19 quite a bit. Yeah, that does look good. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we have Neo X Neo 2007, EVA Unit 13 Evangelion movie, and the YF-19 Macross Plus, and the Dunbein from Aura Battler Dunbein. And I know that one. That one actually does look pretty neat.
Yeah.
I do want to say one more, the Sutherland Custom from Code Geass Lost Stories.
Interesting. Yeah.
I never heard of that.
So that's what, the second or third mention of Code Geass?
Yeah.
Geass? I've always heard it pronounced Geass.
I don't know.
We'll get chat to
it. Yeah, chat, let us know, because I do know the kids nowadays say Geat for ass. And those are very similar to Code Geass. So, Geass.
There you go.
No, I don't know. No, it's funny, really. Have you heard Giat? Wait till your kid's a little older. Like Giat or something? Giat? It's another way for booty.
Oh, my God.
It's like another term or something. So Jamkill X is saying Steve is correct.
There we go.
Like always.
Yes.
What the?
No. Not, well, you know, only on matters of opinion and taste.
Yeah, there you go. King Dylan, Code Goose. That's a good one.
We go. King Goose.
Okay, Jonatron 800. For me, it's probably the VF-0 Phoenix from Macross 2. Voltes,
so we've got a different Macross unit.
Yeah, I'm going to pull that up. And then Voltes V, I guess that says it's from Evangelion. And then EVA Unit 1. The FVFO looks great. Yeah, all the Macross designs are actually really cool.
Oh, yeah.
But with Evangelion, I tried watching it and just fell asleep. That's really what happened. should I finish it? And this was, I guess, the original movie, if that's what it was. Chat, let me know if it's worth finishing. I got to the part where I think there's something to do with a boy and his mech, and like they're making him do something. I don't know. He has like a connection to it. I don't know.
Something about getting in.
Yeah. Something about not wanting, getting forced into war. Okay. Anime Guide 2099, Ekaflone, but I think it was Escaflone. Yeah.
Yeah. Escaflone.
Vilkis Nirash Type Zero. There's so many ways I have to move my mouth around. I don't normally.
What I think is hilarious is that Google is offering to translate that for me, even though that it's all.
Wow. Yeah, that's not as smart as we think, huh? That actually looks really cool, too. And it's the surfing that Ultronimus brought up. Okay.
Yeah.
I like the surfing because there's that scene in Zeta with the Mark II, you know, that looks like it's surfing.
Yeah.
Or was it the Zeta? No, I think it was the Mark II.
It was the Mark II because it had the flying armor, which that's the level that I can't get past in the PS1 Zeta game.
Yeah, you're telling me that. Are you still stuck there?
oh yeah, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. It's like I've killed 13 to 15 goof flight types and they just keep coming until I die. I don't know what to do.
That might be a stream where we work together and try to figure that out.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was it for that. Thanks, everyone, for posting that, because from that, I'm going to, like, look at, like, what are, yeah, some shows I can get onto based on that. I think, like, watch some more Macross for sure. What was the other one? Escaflowne or whatever was brought up.
Yeah, Escaflowne is a good one.
And then
obviously, I think Outlaw Star came up because of the grappler ships.
Yeah, Outlaw Star.
Dude, you need to finish Metal Gear Solid because then you're going to see the Metal Gear Rex.
Yeah, like, you know, it's I need to do that. You know, because it's weird. Like, even the past couple days where I'm like, okay, maybe I have time to play a game. What should I play? I'll think Metal Gear. And I'm like, nah, it's disappointing because even when I was playing, I streamed, what, for like an hour that time I played?
Yeah.
There wasn't much to do, you know, and that's it. But that is the game, and I need to just accept that.
You know, I think if you contextualize it in the way that that you've talked about with Castlevanias, Metroidvanias, where it's like the exploration is part of the game.
Oh, yeah.
That definitely puts you in a different headspace for playing it. But what I will say is this, is Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2, while they were on the PS1 and PS2 respectively, I have played them on the PS Vita, and it's almost better because you probably experienced this when you were playing it. It's like it feels like a mobile game. You're like top down. There's not like
the controls are something that's not used anymore. So it's like, oh, what? How does this control? Yeah,
exactly. So yeah.
Okay, so do you think then it is better to play a more modern style Metal Gear Solid 1? Does that exist?
The only one I can think of is the GameCube version, the Twin Snakes. And I will say that version does have a lot of quality of life fixes. Hmm. So, like, for instance, in Metal Gear Solid 2, you had the option of going like into first person mode and like using that to shoot, which was awesome because it was like you could hide behind, you know, pillar or whatever and like peek out and shoot. And that was something you couldn't do in the original. So there's benefits to it.
Well, you know, explaining it that way reminds me how, yeah, there was a time when you're playing a game like that and you were really excited about the different tools it offered you. It's like, okay, this is supposed to be stealth. I'm supposed to get out of here. What are the tools the game is giving me? Not like where it's like, okay, left trigger aim. You know, and the analogs.
And you can get frustrated playing that way, where you're like, you know, where you're adopting sort of modern video game, what would you call that? Like the, like modern video game
mechanics, but I know what you mean. There's like a more specific, like zeitgeist, but of
Controls. You know, like best practices when it comes to like designing control schemes and stuff like that. I think that when you go back and play PS1 games, the advantage of playing them on a mobile or like on a handheld is you know that you're restricted to those inputs. Whereas if you play them on like, you know, if you were to play one of the HD remakes of one of the Metal Gear Solid games, you're going to get frustrated because you're like, well, why can't I just do what I'm used to doing in Call of Duty? Or why can't I do what I'm used to doing in, you know, one of these newer titles?
Well, let me ask you, do you ever feel like you want to play Metal Gear Solid 1 again?
And yeah, all the time.
Okay, but you like that, like, it's almost like, because you know it, you know the systems, and so you appreciate and...
Yeah, you know, and it's the same when I go back and play, like, Ocarina of Time, like, the Zelda game. Because, you know, it's one. Like, you get frustrated when you're like, I can't control the camera with the right stick. Well, what do? You take the right stick away. Yeah. The problem is when you try to play it on the Switch, you have the right stick there and you're like, oh, why can't I control the camera with the stick? That's if a you really take good that point. Away, you take that distraction out of your head and you're like, oh yeah, I'm just going to play it. Like, oh man, the 3DS. Mm-hmm. Cause you say you have your 3DS, right? Mm-hmm. That is the way to play Ocarina of Time now because you only have the one stick. You can't like,
oh, well,
you're not tempted to.
It's funny because the newer 3DSs, they added the nub, but it's not as much of a stick, you know?
Yeah.
But no, that's a good point, because I feel like I think in a way it parallels reloading in video games. How it's like every video game you reload, but they've just universally accepted in every video game universe you don't waste ammo when you reload. Like, I feel that's so weird that that happened.
Did you ever play Condemned?
Oh, yes. Oh, that's a good one.
Those two games are fantastic. The second one cannot be it could not be more different. Second. The second one is crazy because it gets into like weird fantasy stuff. You end up like having superpowers. The first one is very grounded, very realistic. Like you're doing the detective work. But yeah, that was one of those games where it was like if you reloaded before you had spent an entire magazine, those last two bullets that were in the chamber, like they're gone.
Dude, when you brought up Condemned, my mind went to like strategy game, like because it was kind of like that. You know, where you had I missed that. It reminded me of, did you ever play Code Veronica, that Resident Evil one?
Yeah.
That one, I feel like, was the hardest Resident Evil I ever played. And
probably.
And I never beat it.
That was the last one that was, like, tank controls and, like,
That I got stuck in a spot where it's, like, I think it was when you're in Antarctica near the end, where I didn't have enough items to do anything. Does that actually, and I don't remember if this was the case, in those old Resident Evil games, could that happen to where you're just stuck because you don't have anything?
Yeah, I mean, you could soft lock yourself, like.
It's been a while. And I feel like nowadays, it's almost like publishers make sure their game can't do that, which, is that a good or bad thing?
That, like, Capcom specifically with Resident Evil titles, it's like they created that that hidden difficulty system, right? So, like, if as long as you're not playing on, like, hardcore difficulty, you know, if you keep dying over and over, like, every time you respawn, you're going to get, like, one less zombie, or maybe they're going to take one less hit to kill. And so, eventually, you're going to be able to get past the part that you're stuck on.
Wait, you said they're doing that with the recent ones?
Yeah, they did it with 7, 8, and the remakes. So the remake of 2, 3, and 4 they all had that adaptive difficulty system. So it was like, as long as you didn't play on the hardest difficulty, because that one is default set as like permanent difficult. If you played on normal, if you like take a certain number of hits, or maybe you spend too much ammo, or you die, then the game will start to get easier for you in incremental ways in order to let you get past the part that you're stuck at.
That's very interesting, because that's just another example of that being kind of built in. And I really think, unless you can call out another game that did this, I think Resident Evil started that habit in our minds sometimes where we don't want to use the stuff we have in our inventory.
Yeah.
You know, we just save it to the end because we just don't know when we're going to need it.
There's something valuable to that, because that started a lot of like challenge runs where it was like, oh, can you beat Resident Evil with only using the handgun, or can you beat Metal Gear Solid without using like this weapon, or, you know, that kind of stuff is so much fun. And I think that it only comes about as a result of games that punish you for using something when it was not necessary to use.
Okay, so that brings up this other last point. So I'm going to screen share one of the links I sent you, Steven. It's the so this is a YouTube video from Aoshi-san.
Hey.
Yeah, you guys.
Shout out.
Yeah, you guys have probably heard of him. Yeah. Go subscribe if you haven't. He's at 839. Like, it would be cool to get him to 1,000. But
yeah, Aoshi's a good kid.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think kid. He's like our age.
Yeah. No, but he was at Anime Expo, and he had this recording of the hardcore demo of the Gunner Breaker 4. So when we were talking just now, Steven, about like that type of management, I feel like that sort of inventory management works very well in context of piloting a mech. And that's been done to a degree, you know, before. But I feel like that is another thing that, you know, for future Gundam games to come out, they could really, like, you know, focus on that. Like, even, I think, isn't it your favorite one, 0081? Like, you have to go and replenish every so often?
Yeah, you run out of ammo, like, permanently for a level. Yeah.
And so, you know, watching this kind of goes to the point with some games. Like, so, When I was watching this, it's 20 minutes. As I was going through the navigation here, the health bar is barely even going down. Like, and then he just healed himself. Like, yeah. That's the one thing that I think holds this game back a bit is how it's like, there's so much time attacking, and you will get hit, but you're safe. It's like a built-in safety.
It's one of those games that you can kind of game the game. And this goes for like some of the Armored Core titles too. Like I've seen, disclosure, never played an Armored Core game in my life, but I've watched some gameplay footage of people who will say like, you know what? I'm going to fail whatever it is, 6 to 10 missions, whatever. I'm going to fail however many missions I need to do in order to get like the cybernetic upgrades. And then all of a sudden, like the game gets easier because I was able to game the game.
Yeah.
And you'll see speedrunners do that with like the Resident Evil titles where it's like, hey, I know that there's 5 zombies in this room, but if I die in the room before that, I only lose this much time and there's only 3 zombies in the room and I can juke them. So with a game like Gundam Breaker 4, where that comes into play, it's like, I think, and I don't know how this works in Gundam Breaker 4, but in like Gundam Breaker 3, you would get to like certain points in the level where like, even if you didn't complete the level, you still get, you know, some experience, you still get some parts. And so it's like, well, there's no incentive for me to not just game the game and get what I want out of it. And then
that's why I think this game is solely for the purpose of building Gunpla. You know what I mean? Yeah. But real quick, Jam Kill X, thank you.
Hey.
And I can't get it to pop up on the thing because I am a maniac. But $5. Thank you, Jam Kill X. I forgot to post, but 3 of my faves are the Estivalis units from Nadasico. I've heard of that. MP Jess Benst and Mark II Kai from SRW OG and the King of Braves, Gao Geiger. Wow. Mouthfuls.
And that was one we mentioned was the Gao Geiger.
That's right. You were, yeah. Hold on. Let me see if this lets me. Okay, cool. I'm going to look this up. Oh, I'm liking what I'm seeing. It has panel lines. And it has. Okay, and that's from Nadasico. Have you ever seen or heard of that? I've heard of it. But
no. So, yeah, I've never played any of the Super Robot Wars games, but like watching some of the animations, like the attack animations from Super Robot Wars, oh man, they're so good.
I've never, you know, I got that latest one, 30.
Yeah.
And it's one of those games where I'll never beat it, but it's fun to go back and play every once in a while. Although now I'm getting an inkling since you guys are talking about it. But anyway, Jam Collect is saying skip the movie for Nadasico. Okay.
Okay.
But thanks a lot. Always good insight. So anyway, the other thing I saw from this was, let's see, about 9 minutes in, a boss battle starts with the ARC-72. Looks cool. The thing is, it lasts the entire rest of the video. So it's like a 10-minute battle, which that's the thing. That's where, for me, it's like, oh, this is where it just gets grindy, where you're just repeating and then replenishing your health. And this is supposed to be hardcore. So again, it's telling me my expectation should be this is about the collecting. This is about the customizing. Yeah. So when I make content for it, I might try to do things about like making custom stuff, people's custom creations.
And one thing that I did glean from Ayoshi's video is that the actual customized mobile suits look fantastic. There's no animation clipping. There's so in Gundam Breaker 3, like love Gundam Breaker 3, but you know, sometimes when you assemble a custom mobile suit, it looks kind of goofy because you know, there's a little bit of like animation clipping and things don't quite fit together right unless you design them to. As far as I can tell, Gundam Breaker 4 is probably one of the best mech customizing games that doesn't, like, I don't know.
It's just I know what
really
you're saying.
Good quality.
Because in general, that's one thing I've noticed with this game, and even with Gundam Breaker 3, I think it's a good-looking game. And four, mm-hmm. it's following down that. Like, I love the contrast of the surface of what I believe is the moon, unless it's supposed to be like Axis or another asteroid. But I just love like seeing like the dark shadows and even of the Earth in the background. Like, that's the thing. Even with SD Gundam Battle Alliance, the graphics and the backgrounds and everything are really good.
Yeah.
So, and that's the other thing. Isn't the open beta like on the 18th or something? Or I think it's
the wrong guy.
I think it's a day that that is during the stream. And I was thinking,
oh, sweet.
So we might just live stream playing it, maybe.
I'd be down for doing that.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, what it comes out on, is it your birthday or my birthday?
That might be yours. I know it's August because I know the Star Wars Outlaws comes out on my birthday.
So there you go. So they probably both come out on your birthday.
That would be insane. You know what? I'm going to take the week off, I think. August 28th. Yeah, so.
There you go.
I'm going to take the week off so I could play this and Star Wars Outlaws. Because, dude, nowadays during the week, I can't play games as much as I do on the weekend, but I want to make full use.
Yeah.
Chat. How many people are going to be in that? And I'll probably actually post this as a question. How many people are going to get Gundam Breaker 4 on release? I'm curious because I wonder how cool it would be to like the multiplayer. Like, how could we make use of that? You know, GemKillX for sure. NeoXNeo is saying the type J9 Griffin from Pat Labor. Let me look at that one because I like Pat Labor as well.
Pat Labor is awesome. I love the scale of the mechs in Pat Labor.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's like a cool middle ground that I would think more Hollywood movies would utilize, like, you know, like when I think RoboCop or even the newer one, you know, or like all the movies from that South African director, you know, that he does like a lot of those.
Like the Blomkamp?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or is he South African?
I mean, he definitely did like, what is it? District 9 was in South Africa, wasn't it?
I think Johannesburg. That's the case. Yeah, but he's a good example. I've got Blomkamp mine pre-ordered.
Would be a good Gundam director.
What's that?
I think so. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And he was supposed to do like the Halo movie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I always think, you know, Gareth Edwards, you know, but then, you know, he's directing the new Jurassic Park movie. With Scarlett Johansson, which that's going to be awesome.
Well, then you're going to have to get the Jurassic Park statue.
Yeah, that's it. Kyle's saying no one mentioned Full Metal Panic.
That's true.
That is actually a good one.
And no one mentioned MADOX either.
That's a good one, too. Those are I don't know.
45 minutes. MADOX looks the same as the as. What's his name's mech from Exo Squad? Like,
oh, which one?
The main guy.
TJ.
TJ Marsh.
I didn't think of.
Maybe
that.
It's just like the wings on the MADOX that like.
Oh, what the heck? Hold on, let me look real quick. Yes, that's right. Oh man, I got to watch this again. I feel like anime, you have to watch more than once because there's so much going on, story and art. And like, I feel like you can only take in some of it the first pass. But anyway, you know, that's it for today's episode, everyone. That was a lot of fun. That was really cool. I love talking about mechs. I now have homework. I have things that I can be watching.
Assigned reading.
Yeah. So that's cool. I might throw something up in the YouTube thingy where you can ask questions about Gundam Breaker 4, because I'm curious who's going to be playing it. What kind of multiplayer can we really make use of with that? That might be fun.
Can we coordinate some game nights?
Yes. Yeah. And we're going to be waiting for an update from you because of this weekend, right?
That's right.
So
yeah.
I guess you, so you submit the stuff Saturday.
Yeah.
Do they do the judging right then?
Yeah, happens that day. So We're entering at 10 a.m. Judging happens at 12. We'll find out what happens at 1. Let me know if you guys would rather see that, like, you know, live streamed that afternoon, or if you want to just wait until, you know, next week.
Live stream would be cool, but it just depends, you know, how much work that would be. And if you could, or at least update us maybe on your Discord.
Yeah, there you go. We'll definitely be chatting about it on the Discord.
Well, right then, we'll have that look forward to. And then until next time, all have a good one, and we will talk later.